If you turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, and high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid?" Think about that, folks. It's a question for you today. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Hallelujah. Let's just ask God right now, if you would, with me here today. How many need a touch from God here today? Is there anybody here who needs God to speak to you today? I want you to right now, as we pray, and ask God to anoint his servant to speak this word. I want you to also pray that God will speak to your heart and that God will speak to your neighbor. Amen? Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for your word here today. God, we come to you believing and knowing that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, and I ask you right now to touch every heart here today. God, speak to each one of us here today. Let your will be done in this place. We give you the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Anoint your servant. Amen. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. 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 I want you, you can be seated. I want to speak to you folks today. Don't fear the storm. Don't fear the storm. So I ask you, how did the disciples react to this storm in this passage that we read? And what did many of them do for a living? Well, they were fishermen. So think about this. If these men who were fishermen were so afraid, so how strong can we assume that this storm was? This wasn't their first boat ride across that sea. These were seaworthy fishermen where they were accustomed to storms on the Sea of Galilee. And this one, this storm must have been so fierce for them to fear for their lives. Now, we can think that they had experienced many storms and they were able to handle most storms. And I think today, folks, if we here today, each of us here today have been through many of life's storms. Amen? But what 2020 has thrown at us has really rattled us. So I ask you today, are you ever annoyed when it looks like God is sleeping and ignoring your situation? Does it ever annoy you? Do you ever say, "God, where are you in this?" When it seems like he's ignoring your situation that has swamped you, that threatens to drown you? Isn't it amazing how quickly that we lose control in a storm? Isn't it amazing how quickly sometimes we are ready to throw in a towel when a storm comes? Where are you, God? Isn't it amazing how sometimes we're so aggravated at God because he didn't do what we want him to do? Where are you, God? You see, folks, as long as life is going the way we want it to go, we feel as if we're in control. And that gives us great sense of security when we feel that we're in control. In fact, folks, we work very hard all our lives just to be in control. And unfortunately, that feeling of control gives us a false sense of security. And there are, folks, there are problems, though, with control. Understand me today, control is a myth. Control is a myth. How can any of us today be in control of life? How can it be? What can we do to control what really matters? Can we control our breath? Come on. Can we control our hearts? It's beating. Sometimes we don't even think about it. Every day, it's beating away. Can you control it? It might stop on you tomorrow. How about our children? Can you control your children? Sometimes. But what we get. Come on. And obviously, folks, we can control who we pick as our mate, right? We can control that. Anybody here got your arm? You're going to marry me? Did that happen to anybody here? You picked who you wanted. Right? You didn't pick who you wanted, Nick? She twisted your arm? No. Listen, folks. God is against us thinking we can control everything. And of course, there are aspects of life that we can and we should control. We should control our appetites. We should control our money. We should control our tempers. And even our time is very, to a significant degree, we should control our time. We should be wise stewards of it. But our life, everyday life, you can't control what life throws at you. Come on. What we've been through lately, it's been out of our control. Amen? All it takes is one storm to show us how we can't control life. One storm. And that's exactly what the disciples discovered in Mark 4. Storms teach us we are not in control of life. Up until now, folks, the disciples have been observers and not participants in what was going on in their lives with Jesus. Amen. They have listened to him. Amen. They watched him. They observed what he did and how others responded to him. But no demands has been placed on them until now. Jesus does not allow us. Hear me. Understand me today. If you're here today and you claim to be living for Jesus Christ, I want you to understand this. Jesus does not allow us to be spectators. Come on. I said Jesus does not allow us. He does not want us to sit back on the sidelines and say, that looks good. That was an awesome service. He does not want spectators. He demands that we make the decision about him, that we commit ourselves to him. He demands it, folks. Who told him to go to the other side? Jesus did. Let's go to the other side. He demanded them of something. Jesus directs his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. He has spent a long day teaching both the masses and his disciples. And apparently he taught the masses from a boat, using it as a platform to present all of his parables to them. Then He turned to his disciples and he taught them by the crowd there. But the crowd, they stayed and they were wanting more with him. And maybe, folks, there were many sick and maybe there was many struggling and demonized people who longed for his touch on the shore. They just stayed there and they stayed there. Jesus was exhausted. So he directs them, his disciples, to go. Let's go to the other side, and they respond immediately. They do not get out of the boat at all, and they take off to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And at that, they cannot get away from their pursuers, as there's other boats that are even following. What did Jesus intend to do, folks, when he said, "Let's go to the other side"? He wanted to go over to the other side, right? That's what he intended to do. He said, "All right, guys, let's get out of here. Pull up your anchors. Let's go to the other side." And that's exactly what he intended to do. And while they were crossing the sea, while they were doing what he asked them to do. Come on. Oh, how many of here are you? Well, God, I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to live for you. And it seems like one thing after another. It seems like it never ends. Come on. Oh, we're the only ones in that boat, aren't we? Huh? While they were crossing the boat, while they were doing what he told them to do, a storm came upon them. You see, the Sea of Galilee is located in a valley that's more like a tunnel, and there are hills and mountains on both sides of it, and these mountains form a kind of wind tunnel, and when the conditions are just right, they can create gale force winds on the sea. And sometimes, folks, the lake is churned almost like a rolling earthquake, and the fishermen caught up on it in such times ride it's like riding a bucking bull. And there's no way to get off of it. This is one of those times. What had these men done wrong that they ended up in the storm? Well, I don't think anything, Pastor. Then why do we often think? What am I doing wrong? They're doing what they're told. What have they done wrong? Nothing. And we can bring storms on ourselves. We can. Okay? But not every storm that we face, folks, comes because we did something wrong. And oftentimes we end up in storms because we obey Jesus. Right? Even just like the disciples here, because we obey Jesus, we come in a storm. Then these men had followed Jesus' directions and they had done what he told them to do, and no one could have been more obedient than these men were in their response to what Jesus told them to do. Yet, they faced one of the most terrorizing events in their life. What we're going through sometimes, folks, it makes us really nervous. It gets us anxiety stirred up in us. And folks, without God, I would not want to face this. You can be certain that these fishermen knew the lake. Peter and Andrew and James and John had all fished the waters for years. And they knew what to do when storms came. They probably would tell you the best thing to do was to get off of the sea. But that was not a choice that they could make at that time. You see, they would have said, "Hey, get off there." That's what you can do when you can control things yourself. But there's sometimes, folks, God wants to see what we're going to do when we can't get away from the storm. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about Corona 19. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about these riots. Come on, what are you going to do? Jesus said, I want you to go there. I want you to be about my business. I want you to live for me. I want you to serve me with all of your heart. I want you to be a soul winner. I want you to let me use you. You see, here's the point, folks. They were there because of Jesus. And I'm telling you today, folks, you're here today because of Jesus. Come on, I feel the power of God here this morning. We're here in 2020 today because of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, and so we are here. So are we when we face these storms in life, folks. No storm surprises Jesus. No storm unnerves Jesus. He knew, folks, hear me today. Jesus knew that COVID-19 storms and the riot storms would hit and they would impact these storms in our lives today, folks. They would have, he knew all the troubles. He knew all the problems. He knew all the anxiety. He knew all these things would impact us. He knew it. And unfortunately, when Jesus leads us into storms, we may not find him as responsive as we would like. Where's Jesus? They're probably asking each other, where's Jesus? You see, Jesus may not appear to even care in the storm. Right? Their situation was desperate. The waves were crashing in on them. The boat was soaked. Might have had water in it. I don't know. Never been in that situation. Don't care to be. Come on. There probably was water in on it. They might have been bailing. I don't know. But these men, these fishermen were overwhelmed in the storm. Overwhelmed, folks. They were wet. They were cold. They were frightened. They were tossed about, nearly thrown into the sea several times. They needed help in the storm. And here's Jesus sleeping. Yeah. Where's Jesus? Can you believe he's sleeping? You see, they had been exhausted. That day, Jesus had been exhausted. And he must have fallen asleep as soon as they got away from the shore. And he had been sleeping all the way. And the storm did not wake him. So they turned to him and accused him of the very same thing that we do in life storms when they hit us. Don't you even care that we drown? Don't you even care, Jesus? What are you doing sleeping? Can't you see what I've been going through? Can't you see my anxiety? My nerves are at their ends. God, I don't know what else to do, and you're sleeping. Don't you care that we drown? Of course. If they drown, he does too. He cares. Come on, common sense, folks, alone would tell them that he cares. But sometimes when storms hit, common sense doesn't come through, does it? You see, the idea that Jesus, who died for us, would not care about our pain, our anxiety, our fears, makes no sense at all. Yet, this is the feeling many of us have as we feel this way simply because there's a storm going on. We are not supposed to have storms in life, right? Is that what you signed up for when you came up here? Yeah, man, if I go to the altar right now, no more storms in my life. It's smooth sailing to heaven. Is that what you all thought? Huh? No more storms. Listen, if that's the way it was, everybody be up here. Come on. We believed in Jesus in order to avoid storms in life. Is that how we did it? I'm taking advantage of this. These other people out here, I ain't going to tell them about it because I might lose out myself. You know, you got to find a good deal. You know, you find a gold mine, you don't tell everybody because they're all digging it. Right? If I sign up, I get saved, no more storms. You see, he's supposed to keep life under control. He's supposed to protect us from the storm. He's supposed to help us through the struggles and the problems in life. Man, I'll have it made living for God. While others struggle, we're supposed to be immune to all. We're supposed to be protected by him from the hurt and the pain and the realities of life while others go through it. And this is why we respond with such anger and resentment when a storm hits. Come on. We see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat and we're angry that he doesn't care. If those disciples are anything like us, they worked to save themselves even though he was there with them. If they're anything like us, folks, even though Jesus is in the boat with them, they're working themselves. I'll take care of this situation. I can handle this. They probably tried to turn the sail in order to catch the wind and outrun the storm. But folks, when the winds were too crazy, they probably tried to row through the waves, but the waves were too high for that. They must have tried to bail out the water when the waves kept nearly crashing in on them, filling the boat. There's too much water in here. They were doing it themselves. They did everything they could to save themselves with Jesus right there in the boat with them. This is exactly what we do in so many of life's storms. Here, let me just bail. Let me just turn this sail this way a little bit. I'll take care. I'll have it all under control in no time. I'll just dip a little bit of this trouble out, throw it back out there in the sea, and I'll be all right in no time. All along, Jesus is walking right here with us. Come on. We respond by trying to gain control of the storm. And what must we do to get this thing under control? And determine what we have to do to survive. I'll determine it. We are always seeking to be in control of life. But life is too big to be controlled by us, folks. And while we are seeking to be in control, Jesus is right there with us. But we don't want to bother him. Or we don't even think of asking him sometimes. And so the storm continues and we reach the point of terror in the storm and anger with the Lord. Also, we need to understand that though they knew theory about Jesus, they did not know Jesus. They didn't know him. Because when he spoke to the wind, they said, "Who is he? Who is this man?" They knew in theory about him, but they didn't know him. I'm asking you today, do you know in theory about him, or do you know him? Come on. They knew theory about Jesus. They didn't know him. And we see this in the accusatory question that they asked him, don't you care if we drowned? They didn't know him. How can you sleep? Aren't you going to help us trim the sails and or row the boat or bail out the water? Now think about this, folks. They went down and said, don't you care that we just, you know what they were saying? Why aren't you helping us? Why aren't you helping us bail out the water? They didn't know he was going to tell the sea to be still. They didn't know him. He blew their minds when he did that. They just wanted him to help row the boat. They wanted him to help take down the sails and bail out the water. You see, he can do even much more than we ask or think. Come on. We can ask God to help us bail out the water. We can help ask God to help us to take down the sails. We can ask God to help us do all these row the boat. But folks, he'll do even more than you even ask or think. It's a God we serve. We need to know our God. Come on, I said we need to know him. Hallelujah. Aren't you going to help us trim the sails, row the boat? They had heard the words and seen the works of Jesus. But folks, these words and these works were more theory to them. And the idea, folks, that he could do something about the storm had not even entered their mind. Didn't even enter their mind. The reason for this is because of their assumption that they had to do something about it. That they had to handle the issue and the stresses of life on their own. And they were so ingrained in them that they couldn't think of nothing else but their own struggle and their own terror. And we often, just like this, come on, can we say amen this morning? Can we be honest here? I said we are often just like this. Jesus is a theory for us, but he's not living truth for us. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. God is wanting to speak to us in a mighty way. God wants revival to continue here at Church of Pentecost. He doesn't want it to stop with Church of Day of Pentecost. We think life is up to us. Folks, we need to understand right now. God is allowing us to go through this. We're in the boat. This storm is happening right now. The things that are happening are all around us. We need to understand. I need to know him in truth. I need to know who I serve. God is asking us to do things right now. God wants you to witness to your neighbor. God wants you to witness to your coworker. Right now, he's saying, go with me to this area. What are we focused on? Are we focusing on the storm? Do we have to handle everything ourselves? Because we don't know who God really is? Is he only in theory to us? God help us here this morning. Folks, God is speaking to us here this morning. Is he just a God in theory to us? Hey man, it's something that's just good to have around. But do we understand that he's in the boat with us and we don't have to fear anything? Because our God, if he wants, can stand up and speak to the wind and the sea. He can do more than bail out water. He's more than a butter boy. We think life is up to us. Jesus is sleeping theory. But see, Jesus doesn't see things quite that way today. Jesus rebukes his disciples. Why? For their fear when facing the storm. Jesus rebukes the storm, folks. He said, be still. You see, the lake was completely calm. When he said, be still, that situation just stopped. Now, that's most unusual, isn't it? If you only knew Jesus in theory. Come on. Once the wind dies down and the water continues to stir for a period of time after the storm, and the storm's over now, in theory, Jesus becomes reality. How? Through the storm. Come on, hear me. Hear me. They were expecting to bail water. And he speaks to the storm. And that theory, Jesus, now becomes reality. How? Through the storm. Come on, you see where God is wanting to draw you right now? He's wanting you to see that, look, I'm taking you through the storm with me. But I'm doing it because I want you to see that I'm more than a water boy. I'm more than a water boy. Oh, God, have your way right now, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Jesus rebukes his disciples in chapter 4. And he turns to them and rebukes them for what? Their lack of faith. He rebukes them for not having faith. You've heard my words, the claims that I've made, and the teachings that I've done, he says. You have seen my works. You've seen the healings that I've done and the demonized people that I've set free. My words and my works should have resulted in faith in your life. Folks, God is asking you. He's asking you to come to church Sunday after Sunday. He's saying you learn about me. You learn about my words, you see my works, and the things that I've done, and yet you have no faith. You still think life is up to you. Come on, folks, here's what God's speaking to us today. You come to church Sunday after Sunday, amen, you hear the word, you hear the preaching, you sing the music, you hear the music playing, you see people being healed and all this and that, but yet, you still think life is up to you. You still think that you can handle life's storms. You still think you have the wisdom and the strength and the energy to control life. And now you cry out to me in anger and blame me. You don't even care, he says. And you know me in theory. But do you know me in trust? His disciples, folks. His disciples were amazed at his authority. And now their response changes to Jesus. They're terrified, but not in a cowardly sense. They are terrified because they are overwhelmed by the presence of God. I feel it right now. They're overwhelmed by the presence of God when he stands up and speaks to the storm. We knew you could bail water. We knew you could row. We knew you could help take down the sail. Whatever else they do, you can add it there. Who do you think he can speak to your storm? You think he can take you through to the other side? Come on, folks. They were overwhelmed. They were blown away. Only a creator could control nature the way Jesus had. They were overwhelmed by the reality that Jesus is God. He is the Lord of all storms. I'm telling you, God is here. He's here right now. He's here to help you. He's here to be more than a water boy for you. God is involved in our lives. He is creator of all. He is Lord of all. He is sovereign over all. He is controller over all. God is here. Now listen to me. He's creator of all. He's Lord of all. He's sovereign over all. He's control over all. And we want to be in control. God is all these things, but yet we want to be in control. We must move from control, folks, to trust. The only way we can control life is to trust the only one who can control it. Knowledge about Jesus must become trust in Jesus through your storm. In Mark chapter 6, read about another storm here today. Mark chapter 6, 45 through 40, 52. I'm trying to hurry. Immediately, he had made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Here he is again. Come on. Here he is again. All right, boys. Get to the other side. Now they know him. They knew what he did before. They've been around a little longer. Okay? Go to the other side to Bethesda. While he sent them the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. And when he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Here they are, marveling again. Doesn't God always blow your mind? For they had not understood about the loaves. Now think about that. For they had not understood about the loaves. What's the loaves have to do with being on the water? I'll tell you. Because their heart was hardened. Folks, we think as Christians our heart don't get hard. Here these are. These guys been with Jesus. He blew their mind on the Sea of Galilee before. When he walked out and said, peace be still. And everything, man, who is this guy? And yet, here this scripture saying, their hearts were hardened. Now, I know none of you ever have a hard heart. You guys are so pliable. You're as soft as Wonder Bread. Well, let's just see. You see, this story comes just after the miracle of feeding 5,000 men plus all the women and children. That's what the loaves has to do. So here they are. Jesus feeds 5,000 plus. All right, he says, get in a boat, go to the other side. And a storm comes up. The Bible says their heart was hardened because they didn't understand the loaves. The miracle was representative of God's provision for his people. Folks, can we say today, you don't have to raise your hand, does God take care of you? Does God bless your life? You see, if we don't understand properly the provision, our hearts can harden. Jesus told his disciples to go to Bethesda, the birthplace of Peter, Andrew, and Philip. God sent them on a mission. God never lets his disciples stay in one place too long. Folks, God is not content to let you stay in one place too long in your walk with him. I said earlier, right? Come on, we need to know God to better tomorrow. And the next day better the next day. God doesn't want you to stay on this level. God wants you to grow. Come on, folks. If every parent here, if your child only stayed 3 feet tall, you'd be taken to the doctor. They're 16 years old, still 3 feet tall. Come on. Think about it. 2 feet tall, whatever. God doesn't want us to stay in one place too long. He sent them to the other side. He's not content for you to stay on this level. That's why you are constantly moving from blessing to trial. From blessing to trial. Jesus was sending them back to where they were born. God wants us to visit once in a while, back where you first began your new walk, your new life. What brought you to God? What took you to a place where you realized, I need God? And I think sometimes, folks, God takes care of us so long that we forget the provision, why it's necessary, amen, and our hearts get hardened. There are some of you who came in contact with God maybe years ago today. But it's been a long time since you've been back to the place where you first met God, your first love. Folks, you are not in this service today just because you had nothing better to do. It's because God has ordained for you this to be your opportunity to get back to him. He wants us today to get back to our first love. He wants us to realize, I need you, God. I still need you today. And the Bible says that while they were on their way to meet Jesus, the storm arose. And I want you to notice with me the exact wording of the scripture here in Mark 6, 48 and 49. Then he saw them straining and at rowing. I'm telling you today, he sees your struggle. He sees it. He saw them straining and rowing. Why? For the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Before he was in the boat, this time he came to them, walking on the sea. He's walking on their storm. And would have passed them by. He would have passed you right by. You see, God wants us to understand. I got to go back and understand why I'm living for Him today. I got to understand why I need Him today. He saw them in their predicament and was in fairly close proximity to them, but did not force them to accept His help. God's not going to twist your arm, folks. Folks, there are some times while you are going through trials in your life and you become so focused on the circumstances that you do not even realize that the master of the storm is walking right beside you. Understand, folks, God is somewhere in your storm. Come on. I said, God is somewhere in your storm. Look what the Bible says in Mark 6, 49 and 50. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a great ghost, was a ghost, and cried out. Listen. But immediately, He walked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. All He wanted was for them to cry out. He's not going to come up and say, give me your arm. I'm going to help you. They cried out, and immediately, the Bible tells us the reason why the disciples doubted in verse 51 and 52. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. They almost lost their lives, folks, because they did not understand God's provision for them. And if we allow ourselves to be so hardened and not understand His provision in our lives, why we need Him, you can lose out with God. Before they ever stepped in the boat, Jesus' words to them were, go to the other side. The reason why people are taken under by the trials and the storms of their lives is because they do not understand God's provision for them. But I'm here to inform you, no matter if you are saved or not, God's provision for your life, God wants you to repent of your sins. We need to do that daily. God wants you to be baptized in Jesus' name. God wants you to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, folks. That's God's provision for you. The Bible says that the reason they didn't understand God's provision was because their hearts were hardened. And I pray that your heart is not hardened to what I have preached to you this morning, because God wants to move in this place right now. Let's stand here today. He wants to move in this place right now. See, God has met you in your storm today. I'm telling you, God is in your storm. Are you going to cry out? I don't care what situation you came in here today with. There's no situation that's too great for God. And there's no situation that is too small for Him. God wants to move right now. Is there anybody here that believes that with me today? Do you believe that God wants to move in your situation today? God has met you here in your storm. And I'm asking you, will you cry out to Him that He can deliver you? Will you cry out to Him today? This altar is open if you want to come up here and talk to Him today. And understand that He's here. He's here with you. Right now. He just wants you to say, Jesus, I need You. God, I needed you the first time I walked down to an old apostolic altar. I needed you then. I still need you today. God, I need to realize I don't want my heart to be hardened. I need you every day. Every day. Come on. Does anybody understand that? Come on, don't let your heart be hardened here today. Realize I need you today, God.